This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hi, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with the Chicago Tribune's Dan Wiederer. I am Mark Grody of The Score. And, you know, it's funny, just before we came on the air, we were talking about when will the next normal day at Halas Hall take place. I guess it sort of started to normalize today, just because for the first time, I think in like 2 weeks, we're actually talking about the opponent. It took until Thursday, Weedsy, to get to talking about the Green Bay Packers. It's Bears Packers week, which has been way in the background up until today.
Yeah, it's a footnote. This is Bears Packers in really small print underneath all the other changes that we've been chronicling all week and all the things that we've had to kind of keep track of. You try to explain this to people in your personal life, Grody, on what happens in your world when things are upside down at Halas Hall. I don't think the outside world really understands how tumultuous these weeks can be. The Bears hopefully are turning a page here, putting themselves in position. I don't even need them to win the football game on Sunday. You just want to see them compete. You know what I mean? Like, just compete. Show some signs of competence, and then we'll work on climbing the stairs to winning again sometime in the near future. Is that too defeatist for you?
No, it's not, because Dan, in every one of the last three losses that the Bears have had, either you or I, or both of us, have said some combination of you got to win, but if you don't, at least don't look horrible in losing. Don't let the bottom drop out. And unfortunately for the Bears, the bottom has dropped out in some way, shape, or form in each of these three games. And I know that it's recency bias, but that loss at Soldier Field against the Patriots, to me, was worse than the Hail Mary loss. The Bears getting run over by Arizona. The New England loss was the worst for me. Which one of the losses was worse for you, Dan?
I'll repeat in order that one of my loyal college roommates would say to me late on certain nights, stop embarrassing yourself.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's where we're at right now. Just stop embarrassing yourself. Get yourself back on steady ground. Figure out a way to put forth a positive product. You're going to have to do it at home. You're going to have to do it against the rival Green Bay Packers. You're going to have to do it with a lot of competence and sharpness in a game plan that you put together with a new coordinator, a quarterback who's been a little bit shaken up, a defense that hasn't been great against the run and now is going to have to stop Josh Jacobs. There's a lot here this week, Grody. Hopefully the Bears can finally back up all the things they say on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with a performance that makes you feel like, okay, they got themselves back on solid ground.
And Dan's going to get more specific here in our second segment, three things to watch. We will also have our predictions, which some of us are working on in real time as we speak. But let's start with our opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive.
Well, today was one of those days where it was Coordinators Day, and so we heard from Eric Washington and Richard Hightower today. No Thomas Brown, the OC, since he spoke to us yesterday. They already gave him a break. But I thought one of the more interesting guys to speak to today, Dan, and you and I at different times were out in the atrium at Hallis Hall where we're broadcasting right now, talking to the quarterback's coach of the Chicago Bears, and that is Kerry Joseph. And one thing that seemingly everybody has jumped on when it comes to critiquing the quarterback, Caleb Williams, two things. Is he afraid to just let the ball loose because he's so worried about, you know, turnovers and throwing interceptions, and which is good because that is a staple of most young quarterbacks. They make bad turnovers. We've seen it. So Kerry Joseph was asked about that, and he will also be asked about the other potential bugaboo for Caleb Williams, and that is he too busy at the line of scrimmage? Is there too much stuff going on for him? Is he being given too much on his plate in that regard? So two very poignant questions for Kerry Joseph, and he will start with the very first one and not being afraid to throw the football.
You know, I just try to always encourage, hey, let's be aggressive. Let's be aggressive. We'll be smart. You know, let's be aggressive. Let's be smart. And that's the message that I've started from day one, and I continue to deliver. So now, hey, let's pull the trigger. Let's be smart about it, but be aggressive at the same time.
Has Caleb been doing too much at the line? Obviously, he's adept enough and smart enough to make a lot of changes, but has it been too much the past few weeks?
No, I wouldn't say that. Caleb is very smart. We just got to help our offense, like you say, to put us in a better situation, and we just got to play better. You know, we just got to play better collectively, and we just got to stay ahead of the chains. NFL, you don't stay ahead of the chains, it's hard. You know, it's hard.
So he's making good decisions? He's making good decisions at the line?
He's making good decisions at the line. We got to help him, and like now, just, hey, let's get the ball out of his hand. You know, slow his eyes down so he sees things a little bit better once post-snap. You know, but, you know, at the line of scrimmage, things that we've asked him to do, he's done a great job with it.
I think the biggest thing he said there, Dan, was get the ball out of your hand. And I don't know what is going to change with the offense, but something will. It may be some combination of the two things that were just being talked about. They probably will take some things and responsibilities off his plate and try to, without taking away the full spirit of Caleb Williams, try to simplify things. Doesn't mean he's not going to throw downfield, but there has to be some gimmies in this game for Caleb.
No question about it. I think there's some layers to that audio you just played there. I think you start out with the fact that Kerry Joseph is now one of the most influential voices in the building. Shane Waldron's gone. Those were the two men that were tabbed during the offseason to be the chief communicators to Caleb Williams. And so now, as Caleb tries to get himself on the same page with Thomas Brown, he's going to have to lean heavily on Kerry Joseph to try to navigate this transition a little bit. I think some of the sentiments that Kerry Joseph expressed there marry up with things that DJ Moore and Keenan Allen said earlier in the week about, you're kind of debunking the thought process that Caleb is being timid, that he's not making aggressive throws because he's afraid of turning the ball over and making mistakes. It seems to be quite the opposite, talking to people inside the building here, that what Caleb needs to do more of is get the ball out quickly for the 7-yard completion. You know, and if it's there, your number one is there, throw it to him and let him do his thing. If it's a short route that has a little bit of a window, just rip it and go and move on to the next play. Don't take the negative play. 3 yards is better than -5. And so that's something that's been kind of common. I had pushed Keenan Allen on Wednesday about that topic, is, you know, is Caleb, you know, just being a little bit fearful of making mistakes. And he's like, listen, you got to take the profits. And we've heard that a lot over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just see what's there, take it. And then DJ Moore's sentiments is essentially like, you need to understand with the play call that has been sent in and what the defense is showing where the football needs to go and just get it there. And so I think there might be a little bit here where Caleb's head is kind of overflowing a little bit with too much and he's trying to do too much. And when you struggle, maybe you press a little bit, but there certainly has been no confirmation or whatever you want to call it from inside the building that, there's a fear in being aggressive. That doesn't seem to be aware of anyone here. It's more, let's start to stack up some of these easy completions and then see where the production goes from there.
Yeah, and also understand what is open in the NFL. You know, like there have been a decent amount of critiques for those who watch the tape closely about wide receivers, about Keenan Allen, about DJ Moore, about Roma Dunze, and how open are they getting? And they, you know, it has been very tight coverage, and at times there is responsibility on the receivers, but they're, you know, Caleb Williams has to know what is open, and he's like, I feel like this is like so long ago, but he has had his own fair share of accuracy issues, and not just when he's throwing the ball away, like the back-to-back passes in the end zone last week to Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze. They were both just a little bit too strong, so he's missing a little bit of touch right now, Dan.
Yeah, he's missing a little bit of everything right now. And so your question, and we'll get into this a little bit more in our game preview, is what can Thomas Brown do to kind of to get a little flow going again? One of the things that you heard from Cole Kmet all week was just understanding that, look, like they've been in a flow with Caleb Williams. You don't have to go back very far. You know, it's the Jaguars game, the Panthers game, the Rams game before that. The flow has existed. And so the Bears are leaning on that for confidence that, yeah, it's in there. But now we got to recreate that, because when it gets going, it can feel really fun and it can feel really momentous for the entire offense. But you've got to help your young quarterback create that. And I think internally, you know, the playmakers are doing their best to support Caleb. The coaches are doing their best to push Caleb. Now it's about the quarterback just kind of navigating this turbulence, you know, and figuring out a way out of it and a way through it where you don't lose your belief in yourself. You don't lose your belief in the offense. You don't lose your belief in the guys you have around you. That's kind of a big step here that this offense needs to take on Sunday against the Packers. And by the way, the Packers are a pretty good defense. You know, we've seen them over time challenge the Bears in significant ways. And don't forget, the last time we watched a Bears-Packers game, it was in January, and the Bears didn't score a touchdown in that game. So if we go three straight games here without an end zone visit, there's going to be quite a bit of unrest here in the city.
Yeah, I mean, the Green Bay defense ranks between 10 and 15th in most of the statistical categories, so that does count as a pretty good defense. Quay Walker, we know about him.
Kenny, Kenny Clark.
Oh, they're all still there, man. All those, Gershon Gary,
yeah.
And the guy that we should talk about next, and that would be Xavier McKinney. You've been hearing all this stuff going on, Dan, with Xavier McKinney and DJ Moore. Have you been following?
I haven't followed it as closely as I probably need to. There's about 10 things on my checklist where I'm like, man, I got to catch up on that. It's been one of these weeks. I haven't even gotten back through my entire offensive review of the game last week because of all of the things that have gone on this week. So I'm a little backlogged. Update me on Xavier McKinney and DJ Moore.
Trust me, I had to do my own research on it today as well. And luckily, I was in the locker room when DJ Moore was talking about this, but let me give a little bit of background for everybody here. DJ Moore back in May was on the Kay Adams show up in Adams. She mentioned to DJ Moore that the NFC North in general has beefed up their secondaries. And she mentioned a few names, but then she did mention Xavier McKinney is in Green Bay now, to which Moore said, "That's nice." And Kay said, "Well, how do you feel about it?" And Moore went on to say, "I don't feel no way about it. They just there." So just kind of DJ Mooring, doing it. And, right. You know what I mean?
Like, if you know DJ, you're just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's DJ. And I get how it sounds personal. I do. I understand. We've had to get to know DJ Moore and know what's personal and what's not personal. But Xavier McKinney, probably not knowing DJ Moore very well, was very upset about it. He struck back yesterday in the Packers locker room. Among the things he said, this is McKinney now, quote, "Playing in the league every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, I'm watching the games," McKinney said. "I've got Sunday tickets, so I sit in my room. I've got TV, my monitor. I watch every game. I'm paying attention to formations, little things, how people are playing when they're up, how people are playing when they're down, what players are doing." And then he goes on to say, DJ Moore is another one of those guys, same guy, play still going on, and you walk off the field on your offense. You know, you take note of that. Everybody takes note of that, and we see it, and we're going to work it accordingly. He also said, Dan, I don't have the exact quote, so I am paraphrasing a little bit here. He suggested that DJ Moore faked his ankle injury when he went off the field.
Awesome.
Here so, we that's go. So that's the background for all of it.
In now, a week full of juice, we've got some juice going. All right. Yeah, now we've got so the response.
We know Weezy likes juice. Yeah, I'm trying to fill you up, brother. That's what I'm doing here right now. Yes, here is to all of that, which I just told you. Here is now DJ Moore in the Bears locker room today.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, trash talk is trash talk. We'll just see on Sunday what all plays out to be.
Do you think you hurt his feelings on up in Adams?
No, I don't think I hurt his feelings. I mean, what I say, that's nice. I mean, he a good player. Played against X a few times, so, I mean, looking forward to the battle.
Just more juice for the game?
I mean, if you wanted to be there, I mean, it's already there. So, we'll see on Sunday.
Where does your trash talking stand?
I don't know.
It raised.
Do y'all think I trash talk?
I don't know.
Exactly. Don't nobody know. Only people on the field know. So I'll leave it on the field.
Okay.
Love it. The man speaks. You know what he? You know what it is, Dan? Is I try to psychologically profile guys.
Yeah.
He speaks with a wink. He's always got a wink or a little head, a little smile, right. A wry smile, you know?
Yeah. One of the harder guys to read fully, right? Like pretty affable at most times, pretty approachable, a guy who usually kind of shoots from the hip with what he says, but you can't always interpret everything. And so like, look, like hearing those initial comments he made in the off season, you know, as we said, that's just DJ. Now, if you're Xavier McKinney and you're wired even like 40%, like Jalen Johnson is wired here as a cornerback, you go, you know, that MF-er is trying to steal my children. You know what I mean? Like that's where your head goes, you know? And so then you get angry and the competitive fire comes out. Be interesting to watch that on Sunday. Xavier McKinney, by the way, has an NFL best 6 interceptions this season.
I know.
So like, you know, like he's got a chance now here in his first season in Green Bay to put his fingerprints on this football game on Sunday. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. It seems to be good natured, particularly from DJ's end. And, you know, hopefully everything is controlled and it creates some fun juice for the game. Speaking of which, I may bring a thermos of fun juice to the game this week. Just help me get through it.
Just pass it around in the press box. So we're all feeling good. I'll have one more at the end of the podcast. I'm gonna give you one more nugget on some trash talk that happened in the locker room today, which was not on tape, but I was given permission to use it. So stand by for that. But before we get to Dan's three things to watch about this actual game and our predictions, one more cut that I want to play because, and then this might be it on Nate Davis because Nate Davis was cut and Chris Morgan attempted to give us out in the atrium here at Hallis Hall some closure on Nate Davis.
Decisions that are made are always going to be what's best for the team. You know, it didn't work out with Nate. I only wish him the best moving forward.
Why didn't it work out?
Just not going to talk about it. A lot of reasons, and, you know, I wish it would have, and wish him the best moving forward.
Chris, I know you don't want to get into the details of Nate, but he was such a high-profile signing. Is that a personal disappointment for you as a coach? I mean, you've been in the league a long time and dealt with a lot of good guys. How did that affect you personally that it didn't work out?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out with anybody, you know, you always want it to, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Wish him the best moving forward.
Are you mystified or frustrated, or what's the emotion you feel with a situation like that?
We're moving on. Yeah, we're moving on. All our focus, all our energy is on Green Bay.
You love Potsy, don't you?
I love the combination of Potsy and Chris Morgan. Yeah. Because you've got a guy in a quest for answers and a guy who's going to give you none. And so, like, there's a fun little joust going on.
Oh, yeah.
There. You ever see the movie A Quick Change? Is an old one with Gina Davis, Bill Murray, Randy Quaid.
I might have. I would not be able to cite a word from it, though.
There's a scene where they pull into a neighborhood, and there's a couple guys jousting on bicycles with, like, garden hose and a rake or something. That for some reason, I don't know why that scene popped in my head, but that's kind of the Chris Morgan, Mark Potash back and forth there, because you're just not going to get anything out of Simo. The natural follow-up there, of course, Grody, was, have you ever had a player blow his back out on the elevator at the hotel? You know,
seriously,
what I mean?
seriously.
So, like, I think there's a good riddance sign for Nate Davis in the locker room right now. And on they march, you know, with a reshuffled offensive line, and hopefully they were able to fortify by that depth that Ryan Poles was so confident in before the season began.
I think that before we move on, I'll just say I think that this was the most mutual breakup that has ever existed in sports history, because my guess is Nate Davis was probably the happiest man walking out of Hell's Hall. He didn't want to play football anymore.
Made a lot of money. Made a lot of money to make 13 starts for this organization. Mm-hmm. Really bad misstep by the front office here, who, by the way, had warnings, you know, before they signed him that, you know, buyer beware. He may not love the sport and love the investment that is needed to play at a high level here. And they you know, kind of looked past those warnings and got themselves into a predicament that now they had to get themselves out of.
That's it for Nate Davis for now. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now get to three things to watch and our predictions as well.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are. Packers week. We finally got here with a little bit of game preview action here. So three things to watch in Sunday's game, which, by the way, noon kickoff, Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt on the call at Soldier Field. That'll be fun. Be interesting to know what Tom Brady learns about this team. I don't think he can come in the building, by the way, Grody, this week because of his involvement with the Raiders. I don't think he's allowed to do production meetings the way that most broadcasters are. So how the Bears get him that info will remain to be seen.
Real quick, actually, I actually like that fact, because there are too many times when broadcasters just spew out the information that we were talking about Eberflus, and Eberflus said this guy, Gervon Dexter, is great, and this guy is like, it's all these high plaudits from guys. So it's nice that Tom Brady will have to do his own hyperbole, if that's what it is.
And Tom Brady, obviously, as we've documented before, has had some communication with Caleb Williams over the years, so his perspective on the broadcast will be interesting. But let's get into the game preview. I think it starts with Thomas Brown, right? Like, this is the big change here at Hallis Hall this week, and the first thing you're watching is what is different about this offense. I think there's going to be a better commitment to the run. We'll see if that bears itself out. You're going to have to, again, try to commit to it, even if it's not successful initially, because that's what's going to help the quarterback unlock some of the other things you need to do offensively. You're doing this, again, as you mentioned, against a pretty strong Packers defense. You know, we've seen some pretty weak defenses that the Bears have played, and they've had mixed results. Some really good performances and some really ugly ones, including last week's against New England. You've got a Packers third down defense that's ranked sixth in the league against a Bears third down offense that ranks 31st. Okay, when they say it's third down, you better get ready for the Bears to try to have greater success than they've had during this three-game losing streak. They're going to have to do it with a new play caller. We've documented that Thomas Brown will be upstairs in the booth. The lines of communication will be going through Kerry Joseph and Matt Eberflus down on the sideline, and be very interesting to see what feels different about this offense, what looks different about this offense. And obviously, I think everyone in the world is hoping that the production is at a different level.
Yeah, like what kind of adjustments will be made? Does something get unlocked? Is there relief that we can see within the offense? But yeah, I mean, this is obviously, Dan, you're spot on. This is not a cupcake of the defense. And, you know, Green Bay forever, even when Aaron Rodgers was here, they are always looking for a defense that matches up with their offense. That is like forever what the Packers are looking for. And I'm not saying necessarily that this is it, but they are to be reckoned with. What's number two, Dan?
Number two is getting Jordan Love to make a mistake. Jordan Love has made 8 starts this season. And he's thrown an interception every single one of those games. Might be 7 starts, but he has been turnover prone this year, more so than he's been the last couple of years. And the Bears defense is going to have to capitalize on that. You're going to have to make him uncomfortable. You're going to have to find moments to make him make a throw that he doesn't want to make. And then when that ball comes your way, you're going to have to pick it off. I know Kevin Byard mentioned on Sunday after the Patriots loss that he had an interception, you know, sitting there for him, and he didn't make it against the Patriots. This is a team right now that doesn't have margin for error to let opportunities like that pass them by. And so if Jordan Love is going to give you a chance to take the football away and do something with it. You heard today, Mark, that Eric Washington is thoroughly impressed by Josh Jacobs, the guy that can help the Packers get going, establish the running game, make things a little bit easier on Jordan Love. And they've also been really good on first down. You heard Eric Washington really emphasize the fact that the Packers sometimes skip third down. They just go first down, second down, first down. They keep it moving. They keep it moving. They stay in that flow. So this is a challenge for the Bears defense that, you know, they need to respond. You know, they've been pretty good for most of the year, and they weren't bad against New England. But coming off these last couple performances, you got to take things into your own hands, right? And I think some of that is getting that takeaway faucet back open again, and capitalizing and filling your bucket when it is.
Yeah, Green Bay offense, top 10 in points, total yards, passing yards. They are third as it stands right now altogether in rushing yards. So the Bears don't have a whole lot of advantages in that area. And yeah, Josh Jacobs, like, he's kind of reclaimed his career at 4.8 yards per carry. So as usual, and they're all good receivers with Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. So the Bears know what's coming. It's a familiar look for Bears fans. What's number three, Dan?
Number three is play complementary football. And I know I'm going to sound like the coachiest coach of coaches down here in the basement of Al's Hall, but you hear this phrase a lot from Matt Eberflus, and you say to yourself, okay, what does that look like? What does it mean? Well, you need to have all three phases of your football team marry up at various points of the game to create success. Last weekend, let's take this for example. The game starts, the Bears defense gets on the field, and they immediately create a 3-and-out. Check. You get a punt, and DeAndre Carter, with tremendous blocking from about 6 guys on the punt return unit, breaks off a 38-yard return and gives you prime field position to start your day, and you do nothing with it. Play the Price is Right horn. Wah, wah, wah. Later in the game, right, you get another sequence where you have a punt and pin opportunity, which Matt Eberflus, nobody loves the punt and pin more than Matt Eberflus, and so Torrey Taylor doesn't do the best at pinning him. He kicks the ball into the end zone. The ball comes out to 20. Fine. Bears defense still stands up, and they get that T.J. Edwards interception.
Yeah.
Inside Patriots territory, and you go, yeah, okay, this is it. Now your defense is giving you plus field position. Capitalize on it. Price is Right horn. Right? That can't happen. You've got to marry all three phases of the football team together at some point during this game Sunday to be in any way competitive. We're going to talk about this on Sunday night. I promise you, star this, come back to this and say, hey, Dan, was there a segment here today where the Bears got that complimentary football to play up, pay off? Because they're going to need it to. Otherwise, we're going to be depressed once again at the final results of the football game.
Yeah, and, you know, like, players are not going to say it on the record, but when you get a punt return, you get the interception by TJ. You know, guess what the defense is expecting the offense to do? They are expecting the offense to score, period.
Yeah. You got to squeeze points out of that. You got to get going, and that'll be interesting. So we'll see if they can make that happen. This team, again, like, they are not loaded enough to be able to let opportunities pass them by, so they're going to have to marry all those things together and create their own momentum and success.
all three of us have now had, what is it? We're at about the 25-minute mark of the podcast to think about a prediction for Bears-Packers at Soldier Field. And this is where we also bring in our executive producer, Adam Stanzinski, as we all now make our predictions. Anybody want to go first? Anybody want to make a prediction here, Dan, or do you still need time to think about it?
I don't need time to think about it, but I want to hear Stud's voice out of the gates here. I want to see him get us the leadoff man, get on base, and then maybe I'll steal or he'll steal a base and I'll hit behind him.
What is Stud's going to say?
Okay, so I actually put a lot of thought into this one. More thought than I usually put into my picks. Usually I just go off my gut. So I got two routes I could go on this. I have the smart, logical part of me that's been watching and following football for, I don't know, a long time, who understands the Bears are in a bad spot right now. The Packers are the better football team, and it's highly unlikely that the Bears are going to win this game because it just is, for a lot of reasons that we could point to every episode we've done in the last 2 weeks. Then there is the part of me who 2 years ago on this podcast said, I'm going to be picking the Bears against the Packers until they finally win a game against the Packers. I've done so every game since then, stubbornly. So I face a identity crisis of, do I be smart and logical and pick the Packers in this game, or do I stick to my stubbornness and continue to pick the Bears? Well, I would like to inform all of my fellow Meatball Bears fans out there that I'm going to stick to my guns and continue stubbornly picking the Bears against the Packers. They are going to win this game somehow, some way, 24-20, and I have no way to describe how they get there. There you go.
So really, you are going with your gut. After
no, that's
all
not
that.
That's not my gut. That's not what my gut told me. That's just a week of thinking, like, you know, what do I want to do
okay
here? And so,
all right.
Do I continue the bit, or do I smart about it?
Anybody that picks the Bears this week has got a chance to be a hero, because there ain't going to be many people picking the Bears to win. What do you think, Dan? What do you got?
I am one of those ain't many people that aren't picking the Bears, because I'm not picking the Bears. I've got Packers 22, Bears 10. I just
22.
Don't know how in this moment you can lean into the Bears and believe that they're going to break through this funk, given what they've shown us the last 3 weeks, despite the changes, despite some of the optimism inside the building that the offensive coordinator change will produce a spike in offense. It's hard to believe that they're going to get unlocked in this moment against this opponent. By the way, when John Fox was the coach here, there was a stretch where the Bears had gone like years and years without a three-game winning streak. And we had done this long thing at the Tribune of all the things that had happened since the last time the Bears had a three-game winning streak. We can start doing that same thing with all the things that have happened since the Bears last beat the Packers. It was December of 2018, guys, the last time the Bears won a football game.
They clinched the division, right?
Yeah, with the Khalil Mack back sack, right? Now go through your head all of the – just on Hallis Hall crises alone, you could fill a page. And now – you know, you want to add in some outside world stuff of things that have happened since the last time the Bears beat the Packers. Good luck tracing that route.
See, that's called that. Sorry, I got to hit my finger.
That's all
that's
good.
Called, that's the smart pick. That's the smart pick right there.
Yeah, that is the reasonable pick. And now you've got me thinking about that. That what a glorious day that was. The Bears win.
That was a great day.
The Club Dub was bumping. Club Dub was pumping. I was on the Bears network. Then Joniak was waxing poetic. I think he was reading poems about the Bears up in the booth. I was doing an interview with a healthy Tariq Cohen on the field. What a day.
Yeah,
that was that was maybe my favorite Joniak fade to black call that he had that was a great day. It was great.
Yeah, he was slightly out of control, but I mean, like, it was definitely good. And then things, boy, you talk about a correlation with things going downhill to Cody Parkey, and then what Dan just said about all the things that have happened since that point. I have to stop now because I don't want to go there. Here is my prediction, guys. At the beginning of this year, Dan knows I was completely unreasonable with my picks because, as I revealed to both of you guys, the Studs, if you were listening, I had the Bears going 8-1 out of the gate. One of the crazy things that I didn't do, though, when I predicted the schedule at the beginning of the year, was have the Bears beat the Packers 0-2. I said the Bears will lose to the Packers twice. They will lose to the Packers on Sunday, mainly because the Packers are a better team at this point. The Packers are going to win 24-17. That touchdown the Bears will have, it'll be late, so it won't feel as close as it is. What I'm most worried about, and this is not the point I wanted to be with the Bears honestly is their run defense in this game. And we've talked about Josh Jacobs and how good collectively this Green Bay offense is in getting that push and getting that run. And the Bears defense has been out physicaled recently. I do think Caleb Williams is going to look better in this game. I think because we're really going to be turning our attention now back to his progress now that it feels like playoffs are out of the picture. So I've got Green Bay winning 24-17.
Oh boy,
that's it.
Respectable picks, both of you.
Yeah, we don't have to be respectable, but yeah, it is what it is. So 2 out of 3, Green Bay wins. Let's finish the show with our 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
Well, Dan, I suppose we should start with there is injury news, and this is not a shocker that Jaquan Brisker officially was placed on injured reserve. He's been out since week 5 due to a concussion. And just as you kind of predicted, that me having spoken to him earlier this week and him saying, yeah, he's going to play still this year. And both you and I were a little skeptical of that. I mean, do you think Jaquan Brisker steps on a field again this year?
I mean, you're talking about a minimum of 4 weeks, and then at that point you have to kind of feel out where your season's at, right, and figure out what the risk-reward is of bringing him back. I'm stunned at how long this has lingered on. I'm actually scared for Jaquan Brisker that this has lingered on as long as it has, because that's pretty serious stuff here. And I don't know, man. It's hard to see a guy returning to play football with that level of angst, I guess, accompanying a return to a collision-based position in a collision-based sport with all that's been going on with him recently. Would love to get the opportunity whenever he does get clear to just kind of feel him out on what this experience has been like and where his head's at with all this, because it is a life decision that needs to be made here going forward. And all the best to Jaquan. I know you enjoy him as much as I do, and we hope that he is healthy beyond a football state very, very soon.
Amen. And I will say, just to put a little bit of lightheartedness on this, I did talk to Jaquan at his locker again, and my purpose for talking to him today, of course, I asked how he was doing. He said he was doing fine and all of that. But I don't know if you remember this last year, Dan, from the finale. I know you remember the finale where the Bears lost to the Packers. And after the game in the locker room, Jaquan Brisker was really disrespecting the Packers receivers of Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and basically saying that they're nothing special. They don't have any talent. They don't have an ace receiver, like really going at those. And it became this huge thing on Twitter. Aaron Jones of the Packers was commenting and like no mercy from Brisker. So today I asked him about that, and he looks at me, smiles, and says, F Green Bay, although he didn't say F. And I was like, that's hilarious, because he continues to throw out the hate for the Packers. So he's still got a little bit of hate in him towards Green Bay, even though he will not be able to play this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can provide some of that energy into the just into the regular aura that's in Soldier Field, and then hopefully it'll translate for something for his teammates.
Good news is that Montez Sweat did return to practice today, limited. Did not talk to us on Thursday. Told us Montez Sweat will talk on Friday. Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, both practiced again. They're dueling knee injuries, both limited as of Thursday. Tevin Jenkins did not practice because of the ankle. That makes me a little bit nervous about his possibilities as they continue to reconstruct the offensive line. Dan, you ready to hear from Jalen Johnson?
Always ready to hear from Jalen Johnson.
Always ready, and he was good as always. This is a two-pronged question, answering two different questions during this little clip that I put together. And Jalen Johnson was first asked about the change on offense and Thomas Brown and all that's going on with the offense, and then it will spill over into the Green Bay Packers. So here is Jalen Johnson.
Knowing how competitive you are, caring about the defense and the offense, was a change needed on the offense?
What does that got to do with my competitiveness?
Just because you want to win, so you're looking at all different parts of the team, that you're invested in the offense, you're invested in the defense, because it matters.
I mean, I want to win. So, I mean, quite frankly, I didn't give a damn who's the coach or the OC. I mean, if we win a game, we win a game.
What would a win over the Packers mean for this group?
Sure, it mean a lot. We've been getting our ass whooped for a long time now. So, I mean, I know I don't got to win, so it mean a lot to me personally. So I'm just looking forward to the matchup again. Of course, the rivalry in itself, but they got some good guys. A lot of respect for the head coach and what he does on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you feel that rivalry more now as the years have gone on in your Bears career?
Yeah, especially when they 10-0 against us in the last game. So I definitely feel the rivalry, and I want to at least get a win. So, yeah. I mean, just looking forward to it again.
That pisses you off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was trying to wind him up just a little bit more there, Dan.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, did you think it was necessary for him to ask me, what does that have to do with me being competitive? I thought I set that up pretty nicely. Why did he have to challenge me?
I appreciate that Jalen challenges every single question.
I know he does.
Just to make sure he knows exactly what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, and I think he does it with the more familiar faces when he sees it. He's like, all right, these guys are going to bombard me with questions. I'm going to hit these guys back with questions. But, Dan, I mean, Jalen Johnson, he's got an important day coming up. We've talked a ton about Jordan Love and the receivers on this team, and we know how much he licks his chops when he gets these kinds of opportunities.
No question about it, and then it'll be fun to see what kind of production can come out of that. You know, we're looking at a guy who's having a really good year that obviously isn't going to get the attention it deserves if the team continues to struggle.
Yep, and he loves Matt LaFleur. I didn't play it, but this is not the first time he has talked about how good of a head coach and offensive coordinator essentially Matt LaFleur is. What are we leaving out here, Dan? We've got Devin Hester.
We got a special halftime ceremony at Soldier Field on Sunday for those attending the game. It will be Devin Hester Soldier Field honor for being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this summer. Obviously, that feels like an eternity ago. That was as part of this Bears season. We were in the middle of training camp at the time when we went to Canton, Ohio for that wonderful ceremony. Well, Devin will get, I think it is his Hall of Fame ring on Sunday at Soldier Field, but there'll be a nice little halftime ceremony. Those are always fun. You get a little energy in the building, and I'd imagine hopefully the weather will hold up so that it is, you know, a festive environment inside Soldier Field. But always good to see Devin, always good to relive some of those moments, and this will be his chance to relive some of that glory in front of the crowd that he played in front of for so many years.
Soldier Boy will be blasted at halftime for the Bears and the Packers. It's been a fun episode as always. For Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, for Adam Studzinski, who posted after I talked about Jaquan Brisker saying F the Packers, wrote, my guy, yeah! Adam Studzinski, our resident meatball and executive producer, does great work. I am Mark Grody. This is Take the North. Thanks for listening, watching, subscribing, liking, and commenting. We appreciate 100% of it.
Yeah. Good talk to you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.